Hey, Corey here. We've had an influx of new listeners, and so I just want to make sure that if you are new to the podcast, you don't just jump in and start listening to these daily episodes, which we've been doing. Please go back and listen to the first at least 8 episodes so you have an idea of what Collapse is, what it is that Corey is talking about. Also, if you've been with us for a while and you're enjoying the content, please join us on Patreon. We would love to see you there. There's a link, as always, in the description. Throughout the 5 years of this podcast, we have frequently talked about tipping points. Tipping points, of course, refer to positive feedback loops, which reach a point of no return. And it can clearly be argued whether or not something has already reached its tipping point, or whether it is at some other point in the positive feedback loop where it can still be reversed. According to a new research paper, they claim that we have hit the first of around 20 potential tipping points. I'm not going to argue whether or not, you know, other tipping points have already been reached, whether we are approaching them, how you exactly determine the moment at which a tipping point is reached, I think is probably subjective, and the authors of this paper are taking some liberties to decide that. But this was a report by 160 scientists from 23 different countries, and this first tipping point that they say that we have crossed is in regards to coral reefs. This was in several different news sites. One of those was nature.com. I don't have a subscription to nature.com, so I wasn't able to read the whole article. I reverted to The Guardian, and so we're going to read some of the content here. And before I dive in, I want to actually touch on the report itself, not just the article on the report. This group, this organization, started in 2023. So they've only been reporting on these global tipping points for a couple of years now. When they started, they said, hey, here's 20 tipping points. We haven't quite crossed any of these yet. We're not quite into tipping point territory, but we're getting close. And now here, just a couple of years later, they've said, all right, we have crossed the first one. It's coral reefs. And by the way, we're getting perilously close to some others like the Amazon rainforest, shutting down of the Amoc glaciers. Those are kind of the main ones that they say we are rapidly approaching. Now, there's a lot to this report that I have yet to really dig into. There's tons of case studies and video and all sorts of stuff that I could probably spend hours and hours on, and hopefully over the next couple of weeks I'll attempt to do that. But for now, let's talk about this tipping point they say we've crossed. So I'm going to read from the article here. It says, the Earth has reached its first catastrophic tipping point linked to greenhouse gas emissions, with warm water coral reefs now facing a long-term decline and risking the livelihoods of hundreds of millions of people, according to a new report. The report from scientists and conservationists warns the world is also on the brink of reaching other tipping points, including the dieback of the Amazon, the collapse of major ocean currents, and the loss of ice sheets. The world's coral reefs are home to about a quarter of all marine species, but are considered one of the most vulnerable systems to global heating. Quote, unless we return to global mean surface temperatures of 1.2 Celsius and eventually to at least 1°C as fast as possible, we will not retain warm water reefs on our planet at any meaningful scale. So a couple things there to mention. One, that coral reefs are home to about a quarter of all marine species. All life in the ocean, 25% of it is in coral reefs, which they now say we are losing. The tipping point has been crossed. We are at great risk and peril of losing that. Imagine losing one quarter of all ocean species. And to put that into perspective, I know there's so much life on Earth and so many different species, we can't catalog them all. But a quick Google search says that a widely cited estimate for known species is about 15% of all species on Earth are in the ocean. And we're talking about losing 25% of those. Other research suggests that 50 to 80% of all life on Earth is aquatic, with many more species yet to be discovered. So we're talking about the difference between the actual amount of life versus the amount of species. And so it's really hard to say how much of life on Earth are we threatening by putting in peril 25% of ocean life. But no matter how you look at it, this is a grave, grave danger to life on Earth, including to, like it said, hundreds of millions, if not billions of people. It's obvious that we're not just talking about the species that specifically live in coral reefs. We're talking about entire ecosystems. If you destroy the food chain, 25% of species, what effects is that going to have on the wider ocean as a whole? What effects does it have on life outside the ocean? from in the food chain ecosystems, you know, birds of prey that feed on the oceans, on humans who feed on fish. Even within the ocean itself, you think of, you know, whales and sharks and other mammals who prosper because of the abundant amount of life throughout the ocean that these coral reefs have to offer. Tons of other potential knock-on effects and feedback loops from other parts of, you know, acidifying oceans, eutrophication, loss of phytoplankton, and all of these things that combine, and it spells a much greater disaster even than just losing these 25% of marine species. And then the figures it gives when it says, unless we return to global mean surface temperature of 1.2 C and eventually to at least 1 C as fast as possible, we will not retain warm water reefs on our planet at any meaningful scale. In the previous years, just the previous few years, we have blown past 1.2 C. I remember, you know, in years 2 and 3 of this podcast, so just 2 years ago, that was at the time the prevailing numbers. We were at 1.2 C. And the projections were still that we could stop before hitting 1.5. The Paris Climate Accord was still telling us 1.5 is the goal. We have to limit warming to 1.5 by 2050. We're now at 1.4, and that's on the long-term 30-year running average that they use. And we're projected to pass 1.5 by 2030. That's 4 years and 2 months from the time of this recording. And we've seen what happens with projections, that they never last as long. Things always move faster than expected. It's tragic to view the sort of complacency that people viewed these metrics at. You know, that there was this sort of consensus because of the Paris Climate Accords, because of the language that's used. And we're going to talk about that again in this article because we see it over and over again, and it's still not ending, where positive spins are put on. We can still reach this. All that has to happen is X, Y, and Z. And that makes people complacent. It makes governments complacent. Because someone's solving the issue out there somewhere is doing this. If we still have time, then we don't need to act now. To think that just a few short years ago, 1.5 was still possible, and now we are blowing through it. The article goes on to state that coral reefs have been in the midst of a global bleaching event since January 2023, the fourth and worst on record, with more than 80% of reefs in more than 80 countries affected by extreme ocean temperatures. Scientists say the event has pushed reefs into uncharted territory. It estimates that coral reefs hit a tipping point when global temperatures reach between 1C and 1.5 C, above where they were in the latter half of the 19th century, with a central estimate of 1.2 C. Global heating is now at 1.4. We can no longer talk about tipping points as a future risk, said Professor Tim Lenton at the University of Exeter's Global Systems Institute. The first tipping of widespread dieback of warm water coral reefs is already underway. He also said that this was already impacting hundreds of millions of people who depend on reefs. The report points to reefs in the Caribbean where marine heat waves, low diversity, and disease outbreaks have pushed reefs towards collapse. Now, the article does be sure to mention that some experts are disputing the claims, essentially. It says some experts have questioned the report's claims about the fate of coral reefs, with one saying, while they are in decline, there is evidence they could remain viable at higher temperatures than suggested. Later on, it says, Professor Peter Mumby, a leading coral reef scientist at the University of Queensland in Australia, said he accepted reefs were in decline, but there was emerging evidence corals could adapt, with some reefs remaining viable even at 2 degrees Celsius of global heating. He said coral reefs needed aggressive action on climate change and improved local management, but he was concerned some would interpret the report as saying coral reef habitats were heading for collapse, which was a position he did not support. He said he was worried society would give up on coral reefs if people think they can no longer be saved. Talked about this time and time again. It's the opposite that seems to be true every time. If you come at it with this optimistic spin, then it makes people apathetic. It makes people say, someone else is taking care of this. Someone is fixing the issue. We don't have to act. We don't have to change anything. I can continue emitting the way that I'm emitting, consuming the way that I'm consuming. Corporations, I don't need to hold them accountable because there's time. And, oh, this one guy says that they're fine all the way to 2 degrees Celsius of global heating. So we have another 0.6 to go. We don't need to worry about it. We're not going to hit that for another 30 to 50 years. And don't worry, we're producing electric vehicles, so we're going to be fine. It makes it so that people who are not paying attention to the actual numbers, who are not looking at how carbon dioxide is increasing, how methane is increasing, they're not seeing that we're not making progress. We're not doing the changes necessary. Countries are not holding to their climate accords, to their pledges and projections. The vast majority are missing it. and developing nations are increasing at a more and more rapid pace. Now, I'm not saying that on the converse that we should be saying we're doomed and there's absolutely nothing that can be done to save coral reefs, but we need to be direct and dire about it. That's what this report is doing. But then guys like this are coming in and saying, come on, it's not as dire as they're saying. I actually am refuting what they're saying. And then the reason that they give is simply that if we keep talking about it negatively, people are going to shut down. And I don't believe that. I think people act when the situation is dire. We are a reactionary group, humans. We have shown that we are terrible at making changes far enough in advance. We react when the situation is dire. And if you keep telling us that it's not when it is, you're making the situation more dangerous. And we'll touch back on this point again at the end of this article because, hey, what do you think this article does at the very end in the last paragraph? Tries to put that hopeful spin on it, which I believe ends up with the same effect. So with that, let's read the last bit of the article here. Earth is entering a danger zone. Referring back to Tim Lenton, it says, Lenton said parts of the West Antarctic ice sheet and the Greenland ice sheet were looking perilously close to their tipping point as they were losing ice at an accelerating rate. Loss of ice that is still attached to the land causes sea levels to rise. We are going to overshoot 1.5°C of global warming, probably around 2030 on current projections. This puts the world in a greater danger zone of escalating risk of further damaging tipping points. The Amazon, under pressure from the climate crisis and deforestation, was closer than previously thought to reaching a tipping point. The report does offer some hope, saying there are likely positive tipping points in society, such as with electric vehicle adoption, that could also have runaway effects to rapidly reduce greenhouse gas emissions. The race is on to bring forward these positive tipping points to avoid what we are now sure will be the unmanageable consequences of further tipping points in the Earth system. Now look, on part of this I'm okay with. Yes, we do need to have positive tipping points, and it is good to push for those. But touting electric vehicles as something that is going to save us, like we can possibly save coral reefs because we are increasing electric vehicle production, is asinine. We've talked about electric vehicles. We did a whole episode on this years ago in one of our Will Technology Save Us episodes. Because of the Jevons paradox, net emissions will simply continue to increase if all we're trying to do is increase efficiency. It can't just be about efficiency. It has to be about overall consumption. And stating it so simply like this at the end of the article, that was the end of the article, to basically say the report offers hope. If we can reach some of these positive tipping points, keep producing electric vehicles, then we're going to be fine. And that tells the average person, oh, okay. I mean, yeah, the beginning of the article was scary. Sucks for those coral reefs, but my neighbor owns a electric vehicle and I've thought about purchasing one, and maybe in 10 years I'll do that. So like, I guess it's good to know that someone's got it figured out, and like electric vehicles will solve this. Boom, done. And that person goes on with their life and they get to walk away from the article feeling happy and satisfied that they're part of a human race that's taking care of the problem through new innovations and technology. Meanwhile, in reality, we've hit a tipping point. We're about to hit another and another and another. 2 years ago, we were at 1.2. Today, we're at 1.4. Within 5 years, we'll be at 2. What number of years after that to 2.5°C? Will we be able to look back 5 or 10 years from now and say, oh, electric vehicles did it, right? There were these positive tipping points that completely reversed everything, and now we're back down below 2 degrees Celsius, and we're headed back down to 1. I highly, highly doubt that. And it's not because I have a pessimistic attitude about it, I promise. Sorry, a little bit passionate this morning. I'm going to keep following up on this report. It will be interesting to see as they feel that we're crossing the other tipping points. Maybe I'll do an episode sometime on what those 20 tipping points are so that we can kind of watch for those together. I'm guessing that they are primarily ones that we've all talked about in the past, we've had episodes on, and I'm guessing that there are some that perhaps we haven't and would be interesting to look into. As always, I'll try and look into that, distill it for you in a brief episode. And we'll touch back on this again soon. Thanks. Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.